Let's get started. So just as a scheduling note, I have very bad news for you. I will not be here next Sunday. It's rough. It's very, very hard. It's not Haman. You don't have to boo yet, okay? But that's the night before, right before Titus Esther, which begins Sunday night, Monday. But I have a quick trip to the States where I'm speaking at a shul for Shabbos Zachor, so I won't be here next Sunday. So therefore, I wanted to have at least 1 week where we discussed a Purim theme, and there's a lot of halachic and hashkafic issues. You know, Purim is an unbelievably rich holiday, not only experientially, but also in terms of the Torah. And I hope you've already started learning, whether it's in halacha, whether it's in lomdus, whether it's in hashkafa, whether you for the chassidus or other things. There are very, very few areas of Jewish life or holidays which are as rich and as diverse and as beautiful as Purim Torah. So I really encourage you, you'll experience Purim in a completely different way the more you learn about Purim going into Purim, whether it's halachic issues or hashkafic issues. But I wanted to discuss in a slightly different vein, and this is this slot all year has been the Avodas Hashem Chug, and therefore almost all of our learning has not been halachic. But for this shir, I feel like you can't really separate, at least not do justice, you can't separate the question of drinking on Purim as a halachic matter from a hashkafic matter. I think that to discuss it hashkafically, a person really needs to understand even halachically, what does halacha really mandate me to drink? That's one question. Does halacha mandate me to be drunk? That's a related but different question. And if the answer to one, and especially to the second one of those questions, would be yes, so then, of course, we have a very significant hashkafic question, which is, what? How could that possibly be? Like, this doesn't seem to be consistent with what we would expect any religion to mandate, let alone consistent with halachic sources, with Tanakh sources, or generally, you know, inebriation and drinking usually end in bad things. And that Tanakh precedent is frankly corresponded with like everyday life where we see that as well. So I think in order to kind of have some kind of approach and understanding to drinking, I think we need to really have a halachic shir, which is not so typical of this slot, but I think it's a really interesting one, and I think will really naturally blend into what I would like to give over to you as my perspective and what I want you to think about when it comes to how you'll experience Purim and Yeshiva next week. I will also tell you, in case anyone hasn't yet, that many years, if not most years, Rav Moshe gives a sicha to the Bnei Chutz La'aretz all about drinking on Purim. And in case you haven't heard this yet, he's a massive fan and is very machmir in how he does it. And therefore, usually Eli asks him to speak to the guys, because for a lot of people, it's like unexpected, and they're not really prepared for what Purim is going to be like in Yeshiva. And I think it's been very, very valuable to have Rav Moshe give that sicha. So my recommendation to you is tomorrow, start asking Eli. You don't have to necessarily quote me if you don't want, but you could. It's for see how Eli reacts. But Rabbi Gottlieb said, or not, that Rav Moshe sometimes gives a sicha. Could we make that request? So that will, I guess, if he ends up giving it, it will be a good companion to what we're going to talk about, but I'm pretty sure that they won't overlap, and certainly in case he doesn't give it to you, I want you to have at least one perspective. So with that hakdama in mind, let's take a look at the source sheet for those who have it, because we have a lot of ground to cover. So the basis of the whole topic is a very well-known and incredibly entertaining, fascinating Gemara in Masechta Megillah, source number one on your sheet, Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rava, mechayev inish lebesumi bepuraya. Very, very famous quote. And even if we're not initially clear on what the language is, Rashi tells us right away, in source number two, Lebesume means l'hishtaker. Rava is telling us you have to get drunk on Purim. And how drunk, evidently, do you have to get? So you're confused. You don't know the difference between Arhaman and Baruch Mordechai. Now, if I were to ask you, again, this is obviously a point we're going to have to get to as the shir continues, but just based on reading that one line of the Gemara, how drunk is that? And the answer is very, right? To be, you know, to like be like slurring Haman's name is one thing, but to not know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, that's like pretty stone cold drunk, I would imagine. Never been there, I'm just saying. I'm guessing. Now the Gemara, if that's not a shocking enough statement, the Gemara continues with one of the more shocking stories in all of the Gemara. Rabba, Rebbe Zera, two of the great Amoras, Avdu Sudas Purim B'Hadi Adani, the best of friends, they got together, and they had Purim Suda together. Oh, beautiful. Ibsum, What's that ipsum? It's the same language as we saw in the first line of the Gemara. And for whatever reason, Rashi feels the need again to tell us. Nishtakru. They got drunk. These two great Rabbanim got drunk. And what happened? In his drunken state, come Rabba, Shachtel Rabbi Zeira. Rabba killed Rabbi Zeira. Gewalt. What a tragedy. Terrible. And what happened? Lamachar. Voy Rachme Va'achye. Rabba, you know, sleeps it off. Wakes up the next morning, you know, some black coffee, shakes it out a little bit, and then he goes, oh my God, I killed Rabbi Zeira. And he obviously felt horrible. It says the Gemara, he was so overwhelmed with grief, he davens to Hashem, and a miracle happens. Rabbi Zeira is brought back to life. Okay? Now, the P.S. is one more line of the Gemara, which is one of the great lines in all of Shas. Lashana, the next year. Amar Lei, Rabbi says to Rabbi Zeira, my dear friend, Nasi Marav and Nevin Sudas Purim, Hadarare. Hey, I got a great idea. Why don't we have Purim Suda again, together? Amar Lei, in one of the great, as I say, all-time lines in all of Gemara, Rabbi Zeira says back to him, I don't think so. I'm not sure I can expect a miracle again this year. In other words, I saw the way you hold or don't hold your liquor, and I ain't going to sign up for that again. And turns him down. So this is, to me, if you have any sense, a subtle sense of humor, this is about as close as you can get to a great joke in Gemara. And Rabbi Zeira says, thanks, but no thanks. Ad Kan. This is Shas. This is Chazal. This is the Gemara's discussion of drinking on Purim. An unequivocal, straightforward, non-debated statement in the Gemara, followed by a story. Now, before we get really deep into this, a side question, but a clearly important side question. A little bit cheating, because we're like almost getting into the hashkafic part of the shir, but I don't mean this in a very deep and far-reaching way, but just in the most simple, most basic way. Forget fancy Torahs and deep messages. Why on any level would Chazal have made a mitzvah like this, which they don't have in any other holiday? So here I think the best answer is the one that the Bir Halacha quotes from source number 3 from earlier sources. And he explains that this is a form of Zecher L'Nes. Because when you go through the story of the Megillah, you read about Mordechai and Esther and the Jews of Shushan, etc. What's one of the things which is a primary theme at numerous critical stages in the narrative, in the story? Big festive pseudos, and more specifically, drinking and wine. Right? They got into the mess with Sudas Achashverosh. They get out of the mess with the Suda that Esther makes, which is, sets the stage for her climactic conversation with Achashverosh, where she traps, in a sense, Haman, and says the Bir Halacha, Yesh Lomar Mikdesh Kolan Nisim Shenasu Yisrael B'mei Achashverosh Hoyu Alidei Mishta. And therefore, as a way of remember, even Haman Achashverosh needed to go to sleep one night, and then couldn't sleep. All that stuff, says the Bir Halacha, it all surrounded drinking and wine and sudos and celebrations. Therefore, to remember that Chazal were metakein, Mordechai, Esther, and Sanhedrin were metakein, a more prominent role to wine and drinking in the holiday of Purim than any other holiday. But, as I say, the real question I want to deal with for the bulk of the shir is what is going on? Again, first as a halachic matter. What do we take out of this Gemara? And I think on the simplest level, although we'll see in a second, there are some who not only will disagree with this, some are going to turn it 180 degrees on its head and argue just the opposite. Lehefech. But the simple reading of this story following the psak in the Gemara would indicate what? What would you say? We have a psak to do X, and then we have a story about people doing X, and catastrophe strikes. Right? The Gemara was edited. The Gemara was revealed. They put the Gemara together. You could have had this in different places in Pesach and Megillah. It's not. They're right after each other. So what do you think Chazal were trying to convey? What does it seem like?
To take care while doing X.
So one possibility is to say, yes, you have a mitzvah to drink, but be careful. Okay, what's another way you might read the story? Or read the hemshech of the Gemara? Yeah.
It's so important to do this so far.
Okay, so yeah, you see how important a mitzvah is, even despite the risks. Okay, that's going a little bit even further than him. Good, what else? What do you want to say?
I was going to say something.
Similar? Who wants to say something different? Yeah.
Don't do it at all.
Right. If you would have asked me, I'm not saying I'm right, and we're going to see this is a major machlokas in the Rishonim. But if you would have asked me, it could be that the story is coming to disprove the halacha. Or just say, hello, are you sure about that? The story seems to be a big cautionary tale. Okay, how far does it mean, even if this is right, does it mean just be careful? Does it mean don't do it at all? Or maybe, like Avi said, maybe it means no, do it, but just realize what you're risking. Okay? So I want to share with you in a moment that there's multiple approaches to the question, halacha lamaisa, what is the mitzvah? Or is there a mitzvah to drink? And how far? But the reason I set the stage the way I did is because I want to suggest, I don't know that I'm the first person to say this, but I don't think this is necessarily the way this is typically understood, but to me it's very compelling that the three-way machlokas that we're about to see in Rishonim, halacha lamaisa, what is the din? Do you have to drink or not? And to what extent should you have to drink? Is really a deeper question, which is, how do the various Rishonim see the relationship between the din, the legal part of the Gemara, and the story, the narrative part of the Gemara? Okay? So let's take a look with that background in mind. Take a look at source number 4 and 5. This is school of thought number 1. Like Rabbi Klein. The Ran says, source number 4, quotes, as do other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Ephraim. Right, Rabbeinu Ephraim says as follows. Source number 4 in the middle. Mehu uvda, the kam rava shakta l'Rabbi Zeir. From the very fact that there's a story of the unthinkable, the unspeakable happening of Rava, killing Rabbi Zeir. Idche lei memra de Rava. This was the Gemara's way of rejecting the halacha of Chayav Yeshlam Besume. Sometimes the Gemara asks a question and says to Yufta. Sometimes the Gemara asks a proof from a pasuk, from a this or from a that. Here the Gemara gave a story. But in essence, the story was a way of the Gemara rejecting the psak. Itche le memra de Rava, v'lav shapir dami lemevet hachi. You see from the story that it's the wrong thing to do. The Meiri, in source number 5, makes the same point. You see where it's underlined. After quoting the din that seemingly you're supposed to drink, mikamakom einon metzuvin lehishtaker. No, says the Miri, don't get the Gemara wrong. Don't read the Gemara and reach the wrong conclusion. It does not mean to get drunk. Ulahafchis atzmenu, in to debase ourselves by drink. Mitocha simcha shlol stavino asimcha shaholos. No Jew, no Ben Torah is ever, not on Purim, like any other day of the year. We're never commanded to be disgusting and base and out of control and shtus with frivolity. Rather, simcha is a happy day. Simcha shel tainug shenagia mitocha l'avas Hashem v'odal an isim. It's supposed to be a spiritual uplifting day. Aye, how can you claim that if the Gemara said to drink? So he says on the last line, no. Mimasha hiskir acharav kam Rava, the story about Rava killing Rabbi Zeira, nidchu kol osma dvarim. You see again. So both the Ran and the Meiri, based on the Rebbein Raphaim, and there's other Rishonim as well, one school of thought is, in fact, is there a mitzvah to drink? Forget or get drunk on Purim? The answer is absolutely not. But is there a famous line in the Gemara everybody knows? Chayav anush lebesumi. Say these group of Rishonim, school number 1. Yes, it's a din. Rava said it. Kol hakavod, with all the respect, but it's rejected lamaskana. How do you know it's rejected? The story was Chazal's creative, or even if you, you might even want to say unorthodox way or atypical way. But nevertheless, the story was meant not as a gadata merely, but it's a halachically, legally, has legal implications, that story. It has halachic implications. It shows that the halacha of Rava is rejected. So far, so good? Okay, but then we had a second approach, which you suggested initially. And the second approach, I take it back. We'll get to that in a minute. But the next approach, source number 6, is the one that Steinloff mentioned, and maybe others of you were thinking, which is that either we could see this as a quote-unquote proof, how far you have to go, or at minimum we could just ignore the story. But either way, the din stays the same. And this you see, first of all, from the riff, source number 6. Right? What is characteristic of the riff? You all know this. The riff was a halachic editor of the Gemara. The Rif edited out opinions that we don't accept, lahalacha, and certainly edited out agarata. Right? The Rif just gave you a digest of, it's not exactly a kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but he was the first person who started thinking of Gemara more in terms of bottom line. So when the Rif quotes something, you need to know what he quoted, you see who he's passing like, but by omitting things, you also see what he's omitting. So the Rif brings down this Gemara, and all he does is quote one part of it. I was going to say half, but it's less than 50%. He just quotes the first part. And then the next thing the Rif says is, something about Sudas Purim, you can't eat it at night, the midst of Sudas Purim is during the day. So what clearly did the Gemara, when the Rif was doing his, you know, control V, or whatever, you know, when he was doing his edit button on looking at the Gemara, what did the Rif clearly do? He deletes the story, he omits the story. Now, either he just means it's a story, it's nice, be careful, but it doesn't affect the, or impact the halacha at all. And you have some, that's similar to what you were saying before, there are, I didn't put it on the sheet, but one of the Rishonim, the Sefer HaEshkol, and also one of the Achronim, the Pri Charash, they go so far as to say, and this is closer to what you were saying, which is that, in a certain sense, the story is a proof. The story is a proof you have to drink. How do I see that? It's great.
The next year happens.
First of all, they did drink the first year. They're going to drink the second year. Right? Rabbi Zeir didn't say, I'll come over for the dry party. He assumed they were going to drink again. He just didn't want to drink with Rabbah, which I get. If I was Rabbi Zeir, I wouldn't go near Rabbah. Even Kedem grape juice would be a little too much. You killed me, man. No way. But it's clear, says the Pri Chodesh Eshkol, both in the beginning of the Gemara, the end of the Gemara, drinking is always there. Yes, you see how far it goes. Yes, you should learn to be careful and maybe keep the knives away or whatever, right? Or in modern day parlance, I'm not joking at all. Now, I'm, you know, very, very seriously sober moment for a second. Keep the car keys away. Right? Rahman al-Aslan, I know of cases, not personally, but I know of cases, including the community that I became the rabbi of way before I got to Baltimore. It's a horrible case in the Yeshivas near Yisrael. Somebody died on a Purim. They left the rabbi's house completely drunk, got into a car accident. I mean, this is many, many decades ago. I mean, people are much more responsible now, but still, teenagers are teenagers, kids are kids, and frankly, sometimes stupid adults are stupid adults. So keep the knives away, in the case of Rabbi Zera, keep the car keys away, in the modern era. But either way, it doesn't change the fact that the din is the din, and that's not changed at all in the story. That is the Rif's opinion, the Eshkol, the Pri Charash, and others. Third approach, and this, I think, is what you were getting at, perhaps, is that maybe the story's not enough to be doche the din, to reject what was otherwise an unequivocal, clear psak of Rava, but maybe the story is enough to modify the din. So take a look at Beis Yosef, source number 7. Beis Yosef, source number 7, quotes the Or Chos Chaim, one of the Rishonim, who paskins. Again, he's not rejecting the Gemara. He paskins chayiv inish lebesumi b'poraya, but unlike Rashi, who translated lebesumi as what? Get drunk as a skunk. Rashi says it twice. Look what the Or Chos Chaim does. Source number 7. Source number 7. Chayiv inish lebesumi b'poraya. Lo sheyishtaker. Don't get drunk. Shashich gros aser gamor. A Jew, a ben Torah, going to get drunk in the name of religion? What are you talking about? It's terrible. How could he get drunk? It's usher. Ein chaver gadol mizu. Who gorm l'kili arayas shichas damim v'kam haveris ulasan. Ayein the Gemara and or every college campus or, right? People do all sorts of things which are horrible for themselves, horrible for other people. And you don't even have to look. It's obvious in almost 99% of the cases, alcohol was involved. Nothing good comes from it. Just regret, heartbreak, and damage. It's not new in 2023. The Or Chos Chaim says it. How could it be that the Gemara is telling us to get drunk? Of course not. Rather, now you see how much I like this, because you know, when I get excited about something, what do? The classic, Gottlieb, double underline. That's how I have fun with my Microsoft Word. I hit the double underline button. Rather, what is the base Yosef say from the Or Chos Chaim? Ach sheyishte yoser milimudo Ma'at. Drink a little bit more than usual. So there are some people like me, room one cup of wine would already be more than usual, because I usually drink nothing. Then we have our friends from the Southern Hemisphere. And you don't have to tell me, but I'm pretty sure Yosra Limudo would be more than one cup, more than one bottle. Okay? I'm just saying. Okay? And it could be sometimes our friends from across the pond. In England, they have a different approach to alcohol. I'm quite aware of this too. Not only did I know about this from students, but a few years ago, it's I think 4 or 5 years ago, it's not more than that, I spent Shavuos as a scholar in residence in the Hadassah of Edgware. So I had three, it was a 3-day yontif. And everywhere I went, not only were the adults drinking at every meal, which you could find in certain places in America too, unfortunately, but it's so common, they give the kids the l'chaim of the, like serious scotch. Or maybe whiskey you'd call it, not scotch. I don't know what you call it. But anyway, so one of the places I was at for a meal, I guess I'm not, I wouldn't be a good poker player. They could see on my face, I have like that American look, like, you're giving kids like little. So they looked at me and they weren't defensive. I don't know, they were on attack mode. They were on offense. Oh, you Americans, you're such a juvenile approach to alcohol. It's because you're so anti that kids rebel and do it. You have to teach kids to have a healthy and everything in moderation. I was like, can we go to Hamotzi now? I was like, oh my God. Anyway, bottom line is, wherever you come from, this is a larger or a separate discussion. Hold on one second. But the bottom line is, wherever you are, a little bit more. He said, I want to emphasize, he said ma'ash, right? He said a little bit more. Right? But a little bit more than usual, and that is enough. Take a look, hold on one second. I want to look at the Rambam, source number 8. The Rambam, when he brings down this din, says, Shosa yayin achi yishtaker. So the Rambam is not as moderate as the Orchos Chaim. Orchos Chaim just says, have an extra cup. The Rambam says you should get drunk. The Rambam says, achi yishtaker. But unlike the yishtaker of Lo Yada ben Or Haman the Baruch Mordechai, what did the Rambam say? Get a little drunk and then go to sleep. Shosa yayin achi yishtaker of yirdein b'shichrus. Now, I'm not a bucky, but I'm pretty sure drinking enough till you're a little bit tipsy or a little bit drowsy and you go to sleep is more than I would typically drink, but it's not nearly as much as it would take to be so stoned you can't tell the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Right? And evidently, what the Rambam is saying is either he's rejecting that part of the Gemara, or maybe more likely, he's saying by going to sleep when you are sleeping, you won't know the difference between Mordechai and Haman. But clearly, either way, if you go as far as the Orchos Chaim, or you only go as far as the Rambam, but both of them have one in common, they're accepting the din, but they're moderating the more literal, straightforward, extreme psak. Now, I can't prove it, but I am absolutely convinced in my kishkes that the reason that the Rambam, and the reason the Orchos Chaim are moderating it, is because of the story. As I think there really is a three-way machlokas, and the shorash ha-machlokas is really, or I guess in honor of Mordechai, since it used to be a shirum, right? The mamaham, right, is how do you understand the story? For those who are not of Mordechai shir, ma me'acharei ha-machloket, did I get that right? Right? Or is what I would say, what's the shorash ha-machloket? What's the root, what's the basis of the machloket? What's the story coming to do? Is it coming to disprove it? Is it coming to moderate it? Should it be ignored? Or is it, if anything, a proof that you have to drink? And I think you have three possibilities, and you see all three in Rishonim. Yes.
When the Beis Yosef says, Yoter Limudo, mm-hmm. is that usual and just a regular day, or is it usual when you drink?
That's a good question. I'm assuming it means your a regular day, but I could be wrong. It's hard to know. It means more than regular. I don't know. I mean, you say, I only drink on Shabbos. You know, there is such a thing, by the way. Again, I don't want this to be a digression into the whole issues of like drinking in the Orthodox community. That's not our topic. You know, as an issue year round, but there is such a thing as a Shabbos drunk. It's a very, very sad reality, but exists. And there are people who could be totally they're not alcoholics in the sense they don't need to drink during the week, but a Shabbos they totally lose control, and they fall asleep at the table or worse. And then they're okay for 6 days, and then again on Shabbos. So that you're describing that kind of person.
Or not even to that extent. Just
whatever. He doesn't drink during the week, but on Shabbos he has two cups. It would be somewhere in the... I could, if you want to be Mekel or Machmer, I'd be okay with either. I can't prove it. I couldn't prove one way or the other. Yeah.
Could you take the Rambam saying, like to fall asleep in your drunkenness, meaning like to black out, like essentially like.
So we're going to see it's going to be a machlokas within that, okay? We're going to see that's actually a machlokas, okay? Very, very good question. So with that in mind, now we're ready for. Oh, I just want to mention, just if for those who are curious, I didn't put it on the sheet. There's a few other shitos which I would put in the moderation approach. So, for example, the Rabbeinu Yerucham points out, for the mathematical people in the room, the gematria of Ar Hama and Baruch Mordechai is the same. Not bad, huh? And what is it? 502. You'll do the math on the back of your hand in a few minutes. Okay, 502. So therefore. But to do the math, it takes a lot. You got to remember, wait, let's see. Mordechai, Mem is 40, Reish is 200, right? So he says you have to drink to the point that you're a little bit tipsy, to the point that you can't do the math. That's not so drunk, you know, there was Mordechai and Haman, but you can't do like, you know, fifth grade math or something like that. And again, if I'm being honest, for a lot of people who aren't used to it, gematria is not the easiest thing. You have to remember what's Reish, what's Shin, what's this, what's that. So he says you have to drink, but. So you can't do certain semi-complex intellectual types of things. Other Rishonim talk about the fact that there used to be, in Europe at least, there used to be a very popular song that they used to sing like at the big Purim party, and the chorus would sometimes be Ar Haman, or other times Baruch Mordechai. So I say what the Gemara was saying is you have to drink to the point that you get confused which point you're up to in the song. Again, that's also a decent amount of drinking. But still, all of these are more moderate than the simple reading of the Gemara. Which is that you simply are confused on who was Mordechai and who was Haman. That's the most extreme. So these are all more moderate versions. So how do we paskin? We have multiple approaches, but basically three schools of thought. Let's take a look at source number 9, the Tur. The Tur, of course, is the son of the Rosh, antecedent of the Shulchan Aruch. Source number 9, Mitzvah Laharbas Vesudas Purim, Vitzarech Sheyishtaker, Ad Shelo Yada Ben Ar Haman Lebaruch Mordechai. Wow. So the Tur is a straight line psak, get drunk. And this is based on Rashi, we already saw, the Rif. We didn't see the Rach, Rabbeinu Chanan on the Rosh, but it's all there. And sure enough, look at the Shulchan Aruch, source number 10. Chai Vanish Labasubi Bapuraya, Adla Yadav Ben Ar Haman Lebaruch Mordechai. Just gives you the headline of the Gemara. No story, no moderation, and certainly no rejecting it. And certainly the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. As it like the Tur, and like the majority of Rishonim, seems to be the biggest, most popular opinion of Rishonim is, get drunk. Not just drink a little bit, and so don't be a teetotaler and don't drink at all. Don't be a Gottlieb. Get drunk. Okay? That seems good. Now, this is not only the push-up shot of the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at source number 11, the Shari Tshuva. He quotes from the Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden, one of the great, great Gedolei Achronim, whose father is known as the Chacham Tzvi. Was also a great, great gadol, and he testifies, source number 11, about his father, Shaviv Hagonzal, Hayanoheg Yemei Bachrusos. So I guess when he got older, you know, sometimes you get older, you got to tame it down a little bit. Can't always party like you know, like a rebbe when you're an older, right? But yeshiva guys, right? This is the time, right? So he says about my father, Yemei Bachruso. What would he do? He would be Mekayim Hamemra Kipshuto. He took the Gemara at face value, and he was Machmir. Like that. Weiter, turn over the page. Two amazing sources. We'll just combine the two because I think they're really basically saying the same thing. And they're coming from completely different perspectives in the Jewish intellectual tradition, which I think always, whenever you have two people who have completely different methodologies and they both say the same thing, that obviously makes that idea even more powerful. Right? It's coming from completely different perspectives. So in source number 12, top of the page, the Sfas Emes, right? One of the great, great Hasidic leaders from Ger, the Rebbe of Ger. And in source number 13, we have a more recent 20th century sefer of the Emek Bracha, who is actually from the Brisker tradition, but he is quoting an oral tradition, which you can find in other svarim as well, in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was not a Hasidic Rebbe. Yisrael Salanter is the father of the Musar movement, right? And Musar is all about self-discipline and self-awareness and, you know, being makbid on your behavior, right? You would think, especially for a Baal Musar, maybe if you want to be stereotypical, you'll say, well, you know, Hasidim like to drink, and L'chaims, and there's obviously a certain truth to that. But you wouldn't say that about Musar. I would typically, not stereotypically, right? Everything the Musar movement was about, everything of Yisrael Salanter was about, was self-discipline and self-awareness, and working on your midos and your behavior, right? So losing control when you drink would seem to be the opposite of that. And yet, it's testified about that Yisrael Salanter himself would be drunk beyond, like, out of his eyeballs, just gone every Purim. He brings it down here, and I've seen another Purim as well. But what I want to share about the two of them is they both make the following point. They actually, this is so funny. They lum the shy as getting drunk. There could be a chakira in drinking. You didn't think there could be such a thing, right? What would be a chakira in getting drunk? Is chai vinish, if we're taking it again, this approach. So when we're looking at this first approach, that really, the Gemara meant what it said what it meant, the Shachar Aruch and the Torah, you gotta get drunk on Purim. You gotta get drunk. Chai vinish l'besumei. And how long? How much? Ad yada bein ar harman l'barach Mordechai. Is that a chiv or a ptur? That's the chakir. What do I mean by that? Is it that you have to drink until you get to that point? The chiv is to reach that point. And if I did that, I did my mitzvah. Check the box. That's probably how intuitively we understood this line of the Gemara until now. They are mechadesh. There's another way of thinking about it. Not that adalo yada is a chiyuv. Rather, it's the p'tur. That is to say, what the real mitzvah is, chayev anish inish lebesumi b'poraya, period. What's the mitzvah? You're going to love this, boys. Drink all day. Non-stop. You wake up, drink, drink, drink. The mitzvah is to drink all day. That's not the chiyuv. Not has nothing to do with Mordechai Haman. The mitzvah is to drink. So why did the Gemara say Ad lo yada ben Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai? That's the tour. How much do I have to drink until I get to that? Once I get to that point, then I'm potter. It wasn't a chiyuv to get to that. The chiyuv is to drink. But when I get to that, then I'm potter. You say, what's the nafkamina? This is astounding. I don't know, again, maybe some of you guys can pull this off. I can't even imagine this. But they say, let's say a person drank so much that they're like bleary-eyed, confused. Oh, Mordechai, oh, what, I love you, man. And I love Haman. Oh, wait, I mean, I love Mordechai. Right, completely confused. And they fall out, and they even fall asleep. By 12 o'clock, they're out. They wake up 4 or 5 hours later. It's not Seisuk HaChavim yet. Still Purim. And they're clear-headed. Do they have to keep, do they have to go back to the well? Go back to drink. Says the Sfas Emes. Says the Yisrael Salanter. You betcha. Because the mitzvah isn't to not know between Haman and Mordechai. The mitzvah is to drink all day. It's just that the Gemara said, when you reach that point, then you're putter. But now that you sobered up and you know the difference, you chayiv again. They don't teach you this when you're a little kid, huh? This is a Yisrael Salanter. So this is an extreme version within the first approach. Get drunk, drink as much as you can. That's the first approach. However, in source number 14, the Rama takes a very different approach. Says the Rama, not so fast. Paskins the Rama, the Yesh Omrim, after the Shachar Aruch has told us to get drunk, says the Rama, the Yesh Omrim, the Ein Tzarach Hishtaker Kolkach. No. You are not supposed to get bleary-eyed, stone-cold drunk. Chas v'shalom, that's not the point. Rather, Ella, sheyishte yoser milimudo. Drink a little bit more than usual. V'yashen. And then you'll go to sleep. You'll take a nap. Umitoch sheyashen, ein yode ben arham on the Baruch Mordechai. At that point, when you don't know, when you're sleeping, then you don't know the difference. Now, I can't remember who, but someone asked, I think it was you who asked the question. So this is actually very interesting. Only a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, but not more than that, I discovered, Yur Machavin, Shkayach, that it's a machlokis among, so Zayin and Zundish, both live and be well, two contemporary major American authorities had to understand this sheet of the Rama. And at least in one of them, and probably in both, but at least in one of them I can tell you with personal testimony, he follows this Rama. And he is not just talking the talk, he walks the walk. And that was, the question was, I think this is what you were getting at, or at least I'll repackage your question, because it's a machlokis had to understand this Rama. Do we mean to say drink so much that mitoch you're drinking, you just fall, you know, fall flat on your face at the table, you fall asleep? Or do we mean drink a little bit more than usual? Again, for somebody like me, it means one cup. For other people, Epis, maybe it could mean a little bit more. Just saying, maybe. And then, even though you're totally feeling fine because you drank a little bit more than usual, then just take a nap. Who's not tired? Who can't take a nap? It's not that the wine or the alcohol forced you to fall asleep. You just choose to sleep after you drank. What do you think the Rama is saying? Which one? Not what do you want it to say. I mean, what do you think the Rama is saying? Huh? Huh?
It sounds like he's saying you should choose to go to sleep, not blackout.
Choose that. Okay, good. That's one approach. Excellent. Anyone disagree? So I will tell you that I have heard, not only have I heard, I saw with my own eyes, more or less, that that is exactly the understanding and the practice of Marvi Rabbi, Rabbi Willig from Riverdale. Rabbi Willig is a notorious teetotaler. He's not into alcohol at all. He won't even drink wine for Havdalah. That's like Gzeira Atu, because he's going to drive on Saturday night, so he doesn't want to drink wine on Havdalah. But on Purim, it's a mitzvah, so he'll drink a cup of wine early in the day, and then he takes a half an hour nap or something like that. Now, the cup of wine did not make him go to sleep. It was one cup. But he holds, like you said, first you drink, then you go to sleep. You drink, why? Zecha l'neis. Go to sleep, why? Because when you're sleeping, then you don't know the difference in Mordechai and Haman. But not everyone agrees that the Rambam is meant to be read that way. Oh, before I forget, not only did Rabbi Willig say that, and I know this is his practice as a close Talmud, Shmuel Kamenetsky, the great Rosh Yeshiva from Philadelphia, as long as there's over 90 at this point, but he's still beyond her in good health, also understood the Rama this way. I found it in one of the Svarim of Shmuel Kamenetsky. I was so excited because years before I knew this, just because of being from Riverdale with Rabbi Willig, I knew this was his view. So they both have that approach. But not everyone agrees. In source number 16, the Mikrei Kodesh, which was written by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Who's familiar with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank? I think Eli left him out of the Masorah Chug. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was one of the, you know, who was he? More than anyone else in the room.
Well, I know he was with Rabbi Israel.
Yes.
Around the time of Rav Kook.
Excellent. He was a somewhat younger or basically contemporary of Rav Kook. He was the Rav Harashi of Yerushalayim. And he was a Gaon Adir. One of the Gedolei Hador, unquestionably. Somehow, you'll ask him if you want to know the exact connection, somehow sort of related to Rav Bazak. I'm not joking. His son, I think Rav Bazak is even was really related through his son-in-law. He had a son-in-law, also from the Gedolei Hador, named Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, who was Rav Shiva Ponovich. And somehow, Rav Bazak is related through Shmuel Rozovsky, and then therefore, I guess, by extension, to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was from the Yishuv HaYashan, but unlike some others, he was actually a very close, respectful relationship with Rav Kook. Admire Rav Kook, he quotes Rav Kook, and he was a genius and a god of his own right. So in his Sefer, Mikrei Kodesh, in source number 16, he writes, again, he obviously lived way, way, way before the two people I quoted before, Rav Willig and Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky are still alive and well. But he writing, you know, in the earlier part of the 20th century, he writes source number 16, he quotes, there are those who think, just drink a little bit and then go to sleep. Avolzet ta'us. He thinks that's a mistake. That can't be what it means. Rather, ha'perish b'divir amahu shi'yirdem mitoch ha'shtia. You drink yourself to sleep. That's significant. And maybe that's a little bit less than being actually cognitively confused between Haman and Mordechai, but it's quite a bit of drinking for most people. Okay? So it's a machalokes within the Rama. What did he mean? Okay? But either way, it's certainly less than the first approach. And I personally am partial, with all due respect to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, to what Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and Rabbi Willig and many others have exactly the practice. They drink a little bit more than usual, and then they consciously go to sleep, not because they're so tipsy, but because the Rama says that's the way you fulfill Ad Dilo Yada. Take a look at source number 17. Comes along the Bir Halacha, right? The Bir Halacha is the Mishnah Berurah, and is more in-depth essays. He quotes from the Meiri. Who do we see? Who remembers from half an hour ago? What was the Meiri Shita? Don't drink at all. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah is already starting off from that perspective. And then he points out, you know, there are others who say to drink, and drink a lot, or drink a little. And then he quotes from the Chai Adam. You see, Zelashono, Hechet Aleph, HaChai Adam. Chai Adam was a great posek from Vilna, right? Someone of a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. And he writes, this is a quote from the Chai Adam. Came again, same idea, since the whole miracle because of wine, we try to remember the wine. Ulefachot, end of the first line. Source number 17. Lishtot yoser mihergelo. Again, drink a little bit more than usual. Okay, a little square on this. That shows that you get, if you always have a cup of wine with dinner, which, you know, many reputable people not from America do. So having a cup on Purim doesn't show anything. You always have a cup of wine with dinner. So if you usually have a cup, so have two cups. And that, and you're doing, why are you doing the second cup? Zechel anes. Okay, we've seen that idea before. But here comes the important part of source number 17. Chayodom, quoted by Bir Alocha, says, source number 17 was underlined. Omnam, hayodea ba'atzmo, she yizalzel, oz b'mitzvah, min a mitzvah, spenetil siadayim, or bracha samazon, or benching, or anything, or any kind of bracha. Oh, you forget to daven mincha, or ma'ariv, or you're just going to stomp, be a jerk, and be noag b'kalus rosh, and be obscene, and mean, and lots of things come out when people get drunk, unfortunately. Mutov shelo yishtaker. What's the main point? Chol ma'as of you, shame shamayim. And this, I think, is really the main message that I want to give to you, which is as follows. For someone to just say, obviously you can't drink on Purim, obviously that's a terrible thing, right? I would say in response, that approach is obviously ignorant. You can't know any of the sources that we learned and be completely dismissive. Now, you could have an educated approach and say, I hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim. That's a very reasonable approach, right? Numerous Rishonim say that way. I heard from Rav Rosenzweig that he always used to say he's a Rabbeinu Ephraim guy, which may even be less than, I never asked him, but he might even do less than Rabbi Willig. I don't even know if he has the one cup, I'm not sure. Because I've definitely heard him be advocate of Rabbeinu Ephraim. Seder, that's educated, you understand the sugya, but it's important to be aware. That is not what the Shulchan Aruch said, and that's not even what, that's certainly not what the Ramah. Right? Our main poskim take some form of drinking as a given. The question is, how far do you go? So whether you have a, to me, to do nothing is almost like stubborn. Again, unless you really, really learn the sugi and you're just convinced that that's the right thing. And even so, what would it hurt you to have one cup of wine? No one's going to misbehave because of that. So if it's such a prominent minhag in Klal Yisrael, so many poskim speak about it being a zecher l'neis. Personally, I don't see, again, if my Rebbe does it, then of course, who am I to argue with him? But I don't see what the downside would be to have one cup of wine. But whether you would do more than that, let alone get drunk, that's clearly a much more complex question. But it's complex in both directions, right? To be simplistically and knee-jerk against it would be hard to maintain in light of the sources also. So I think the real point is multi-layered. Number one, and this I think is critical at every stage of your life, not only on Purim, but especially on something like drinking. Echad amarbe, v'echad amamit, v'vad shichav en libo l'shem shamayim. You're not going to trick anyone, and it's not our job to judge you, and only you know yourself. You and Hashem are going to know. Why would you be drinking on Purim? Do you like drinking and it's fun? I'm not here to argue whether it's fun or not. I'm not a drinker, but I understand that there are a lot of people in the world who enjoy drinking. But you like drinking. So now I finally have an excuse. I can do it on Purim. Right? If that's your approach, that's not really Shem Shemayim. You're not doing it for the mitzvah. Right? So you have, the first thing is do a cheshbon nefesh. Why are you going to drink if a person is inclined to do that? Is it because you like drinking all the time? And now I can let loose a little bit more and not have to worry about getting in trouble. And I can really be crazy and it'll be fun. Because now that's just going to be me. But it's going to be a lot of other people getting crazy. That's not solo Shem Shemayim. But if a person l'shem shamayim thinks, listen, this is what most poskim hold. This is the pashas of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Rav Yisrael Salanter, the Sfas Emes, and I'm not counting 100 other people I could have given you as sources on the sheet. Say to get drink, to really seriously drink. And this is how my avoda. So number one is, if you're l'shem shamayim, I would totally respect that. If a person says, I'm only going to drink a little bit, or even not at all, but l'shem shamayim, I know the sugya, I know the shitos, and for me, this is better for my avoda Hashem. I totally respect that as well. That's all point number one. I think it's true about everything in life. This has been a leitmotif, a running theme throughout the whole chug we have every Sunday, which is our kavanos and our intentions do matter. It's not only about, again, a lot of it is what in life is what is bottom line, but not everything in life. What intentionality are you bringing to this? Number one. But number two, and this is something that every modern rabbi is sensitive to, because we live in a world in which is A, crazy, and B, has cars and other dangerous things where people really chas v'shalom. In the last few decades, there have been some horrible stories across the entire Jewish world on Purim, so people are very sensitive to it now. And that is, they have to be aware, not only Shem Shemayim, why am I drinking, a person, especially if they've had experience drinking in the past, whether it was on Purim or any other day of the year, you have to know yourself. Right? Chazal have a very famous phrase, which I think is pretty much an insight into human nature, which no one has really argued about, which is, Nichnas Yayin, Yotza Sod. Right? Even in the secular, literature or pop culture, what we know about this, right? There's the happy drunk, there's the mean drunk, there's the sad drunk, there's the obscene jerk. Right? There are a lot of who you are on the inside. A lot of times comes out, right? And it's not always pretty. If when you drink, it's much more likely than not that you're going to be obscene, inappropriate. Let alone what the Chayyadim said. Maybe forget Mincha or Mariv. Maybe don't bench at the end of the Suda because they're carrying you away from a Mordechai's house or Rav Shriver or wherever you're going for Suda. Right? So how could you say that was a Shem Shemayim? That you clearly couldn't control your liquor or you got out of control. That's clearly not what's intended. At least according to the majority of you, at least by the time you get to the Mishnah Berurah. But it's not only that. I've also seen, and I can attest, in this yeshiva and in other places, I'll never forget when I was Shana Aleph, a very good friend of mine, years later, as Ellie told you, you look to the left and to the right, something you never knew before, is going to be the 8 on your ksuba. That is absolutely true for me. The 2 8 on my ksuba were people I met when I was in yeshiva and I didn't know them before. And I'm still friends with them now. But one of them, who happened to be one of the 8 on my ksuba, I'll never forget. So you go from Titus Esther, and you go into, the break fast and the charochel, and then eventually you can have the big chagiga and stuff. And I remember, I didn't even notice that he was in the charochel because you're so hungry that you're just eating. All of a sudden, everyone in the charochel looks like the door, and all of a sudden, he comes running in. He's wearing I don't know if it was a real bekasha or like a robe that was looked to design to be a bekasha. I'm like, what's the guy doing? And all of a sudden, he puts his hand in, he pulls out a big bottle, and he goes, let the games begin! It was wild, right? And by the end of the night, it was an amazing chagiga. He was totally gone. But here's the point. You know what he was doing the whole night? Saying over Rambams. Giving Divrei Torah. Giving brachas. It was beautiful. Beautiful. I'm not joking. I have, as much as I'm friendly with him still, 30 plus years later, I don't know if he still drinks every year in Purim. But at 18 and 19, when he was shut off, that's the guy, that's who was on the inside. Right? And there are people who, drink a little bit, and call their parents and tell them how much they love them. And they find out 3 days later, an aunt and uncle, thank you so much for that message. Are you okay? Uh-oh, what did I say? Right? These things happen. But good came out. Right? Barriers come down. A lot of people, maybe even in this room, really love Torah, really love learning, and want to be closer to Hashem, but they're nervous to admit it. Maybe they're nervous because what other people are going to think. A lot of people are scared for themselves to admit it. What would it mean to myself to admit it? Sometimes when people drink, those barriers come down. Your friends, your parents, all sorts of other people, a lot of love and a lot of good stuff can come out. And for other people, not as good stuff comes out. So the second point is not just what is your motivation for drinking. You have to try as much as you can to be self-aware. Now you might say, well, I've never drank before, so how do I know? Okay, that's a fair point. So let's maybe take it slow year by year and let's build up and see what you can handle. But the point is, you have to know, or do your best to know, and be responsible for what's going to come out. You don't want to be that guy who, cringes because you're the one who broke the furniture at your Rebbe's house, or threw up all over the whatever at your Rebbe's house. You don't want to be that guy. That I can say unequivocally. So, or said something inappropriate. You went over to one of the Rosh Hashivas and did who knows what. You don't want to be that guy. So try not only to have the right motivations, if you plan on drinking, for sure, but also try to anticipate as much as you can, so to speak, what you think it will have an impact on you. A third point I want to mention, you could ask Rav Mordechai or Rav Moshe, I'm not sure if there's a quote-unquote psak of the yeshiva, but you should just be aware, there are many poskim who hold, notwithstanding the story that I just told you, there are many poskim who hold that the whole mitzvah of drinking is only at the seuda. Now, this yeshiva, and I think pretty much everyone in the world, has alcohol at the chagiga at night. But it's worth thinking about how much you drink, especially then, because it's not clear that that's the mitzvah. It might be a way to have a good chagiga, but not about that that's the mitzvah. It's definitely more. It might be the only mitzvah at the Suda, and certainly more of a mitzvah at the Suda. That's a third point. A fourth point is that, according to many poskim, getting back to what we started with, it's all about remembering the miracle, according to many poskim hold, it's only with wine. Now, you can get drunk with wine, I'm quite aware. You can only get sick with wine. But you can get really smashed quicker with other things. And often people, including my friend from that story, use other things. Now again, there are poskim who say that chayav vinish l'besume means with whatever. But everyone holds it's better through wine, and there are poskim who hold the only mitzvahs with wine. So if you're l'shem shemayim, you want to think about that as well. Not just, you know, I always love drinking rum or vodka or whatever you know like, so now this is going to be my excuse to go through a bottle or whatever. Okay, that's a fourth point. And my fifth point, which I want to mention, or it's all 5A and B, is that I do think context matters. That is to say, I already mentioned, and again, it's not just Israel versus America, because I think even within the diaspora, as I alluded to, whether it's England or maybe other countries, have a slightly different approach to drinking. Again, I'm a product of American culture, and I'm also a product of my particular family. Like, I didn't grow up drinking because my parents don't drink. But other families drink somewhat, I hope, responsibly. And other families may drink not responsibly, I don't know. And other cultures are more embracing of drinking. It's not just a question of, well, am I in America? Again, since I was your age, and certainly since you guys have been alive, every responsible rabbi, and I assume schools also, but every shul rabbi talks about not drinking on Purim. It's not that they don't know the Makoros, it's not that they're arguing anything we said, but there were such horrible stories before I was your age, when I was your age, that there's been a backlash. And I'm not saying it's wrong. The same with Shmuel Kamenetsky, who I quoted before, there's a video, you can probably find it on YouTube, it happened around the time I was a rabbi in Baltimore, so 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago, where he said it's usher to get drunk on Purim. How do you say that, given everything we learned? The answer is, because given the dangers, and you think that there's so few people, and it's a good argument to me, I'm not saying he's wrong. Who am I to say? He said there's so few people who are going to do L'shem Shemayim, so few people who are going to act appropriately. And I see every year in my neighborhood, Ramat Beit Shemesh, I see people who are running around giving brachas to everybody and learning Torah, and I see yeshiva guys jumping on people's cars. Mm-hmm. One year, I was still at home, kind of just like getting ready for our suda, and my wife was taking one or two of our kids around to do, like driving around to do Shlach Manos, and she had just like, I could heard the door slam like a minute before. Like, where, how far could she have gotten? What kind of trouble she had gotten into? And she's already calling me, you need to come out. I'm like, what's talking about? And I, from our bedroom, I could see the window faced outside to the street we were leaving. She was trying to pull out of our block. Like five yeshiva guys who like surrounded her car. One guy was like resting, sleeping on her front of the car. He's a bunch of wandering yeshiva guys. It's in my neighborhood. They wander from house to house just drinking for another l'chaim. Right? I don't think that's what Chazal had in mind. Right? That's clearly not what that was exactly what the Chayodom was worried about. Right? So you have to say, know yourself. But as I say, it's a context. In Israel, it is not as considered as, you know, people drink, as it is in America, and maybe in that sense more similar to some of the other countries. But I want to add a more subtle point, which I think is very real. And that is, I think, if a person never drank, or certainly never had this kind of holy drinking experience, I'm not saying you ever have to do it. You have what to rely on to never do it. Ben Ephraim says there's no din. The Ramah says your whole life, have one cup of wine and take a nap. You could do that your whole life, and you have what to rely on, L'shem Shemayim for sure. But if you ever wanted to consider maybe a different approach to drinking on Purim, I do think yeshiva is different. Because the context is different. The guardrails are different, right? The likelihood of you doing something really, really horrible, chas v'shalom, it's not impossible in your yeshiva, but it's much, much less likely than at any other stage in your life. Moreover, the likelihood that when you drink, some kedusha and something wonderful will come out is infinitely higher this year than it would have been in other years, because you're going to be in a yeshiva surrounded by hundreds of Talmidim who are also, perhaps many of them, doing something similar in a very meaningful way. And as I've already told you, you will have some very big Talmid Chachamim and Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshivas who you look up to, very liberally imbibing as well. So when you're drinking in that context, it is much, much more likely that it will be a holy and a meaningful and appropriate endeavor than when if it's just, you know, a bunch of guys, you know, in someone's parents' house, you know, at some other point in your life, right? Clearly, I think context does matter. Again, I'm not advocating anyone to drink. I don't get drunk. When I was here, my shana off was probably the closest I ever came. Again, the craziest thing I did was like call up my relatives in America and tell them I love them. So it was a little bit embarrassing, but not really. I didn't do anything worse than that because I didn't drink much worse than that. Now, I don't even like hard stuff. I take the Rashi wine with the bubbles, you know. It's like grape, you know, it's like juice with little bubbles, 2% alcohol, whatever. That's what I drink. The truth is, if you drink a whole bottle pretty quickly, you can get a buzz. But nothing more than that. I've never done anything more than that. Right? So I'm not telling you have to do more than that. I'm not saying you have to do as much as I do. Everyone should try to figure out L'shem Shamayim. Well, it works, but again, remember, it's all about your motivation. Why are you doing it? You have to have a gut check. You have to have a moment of self-reflection. Why are you doing it? And as much as you can, make sure that you put situations in place where you are aware of what type of behavior will come out. There's no heter to be inappropriate. There's no heter to be a jerk. There's no heter to miss davening or not bench and things like that. So you have to have some self-awareness. And the Mir Tzah Hashem, you should have a very, very meaningful Purim.